Ho, 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 on your mark, get set, go. We're talking Double Dare, hit it. It was 1986. Smoking was banned on all public transportation. A full survey was carried out of Loch Ness, hoping to find proof that Nessie exists. Top Gun was released, and Mark Summers hosted the best messy game show on Nickelodeon. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s, toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me are two Totally Rad Christmas all-stars. From the tubular Christmas Time in the City podcast, it's Chris with the C. Chris, how's it going?
It's going really well. Thanks for having me, Jerry. I'm happy to be here.
Right on. Thanks for coming on. Always a pleasure to have you on. And from the Radical Christmas Clatter, we got Todd Killian. Todd, what's happening?
Oh, not much, Jerry. Just enjoying coming back on Totally Rad Christmas as a three-time Raddy Award winner.
I think I have the only three-time winners on right now.
Yeah, we're a three-time as well.
Oh.
Or I am, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Very nice.
I'm going to have to put this episode down in history.
Things just got a lot more contentious.
No. I'll make sure to nominate you together.
Well, physical challenge. Physical challenge right now.
This episode's an absolute lock for a Raddy, if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank everyone now for voting for us in the future.
Oh, man. It's great to have you guys back on. I love talking to y'all. Oh. So, okay, tonight we're talking about Double Dare. Like, what's y'all's history or experience with Double Dare? Because I used to love Double Dare. That was like one of my favorites as a kid. It was like the coolest because it literally was, you know, like a game show for us. And I wanted to be on it like so bad. But what about y'all?
Well, I didn't have cable growing up as a kid. So my dad worked for CBS affiliate. Uh-oh. So it was like cable is the enemy. So, however, I grew up summers and going after school to my grandparents' house because my mom and dad worked and stuff. And so I got plenty of Double Dare in through the summer and after schools. And it was just, you know, that was like must see TV. I loved the show, still do, still talk about it. There was a documentary on like Mark Summers a few years back that I watched. Just
love the show so much. So, yeah. It must not have been like too long because it was what, like Double Dare, and then I think he did that that one like how did it was made or something or how
yeah this, well I think it was a, like it was like I think
what would you do something.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was actually a documentary on like OCD, and he was on there I guess because he suffers from it.
Oh, does so, he really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
So like the show was like a real pain, like a real feat for him to do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Chris?
I grew up in South Florida and we made several trips to Orlando. So like Nickelodeon in general was like a huge, like almost like mecca experience for us. We'd go to Universal Studios and they had the big Nick Studios you can go see. Things are filming there, whether it was like Clarissa Explains It All or like
another great one,
Guts and stuff, like all these are like crazy shows that you could just like walk through like on your way to go to like the Beetlejuice live show. You could just kind of just get tours through the Nickelodeon sets and stuff. And it was awesome. So like in general, Nickelodeon was a huge part of my life, and specifically Double Dare was just because I craved being on that show. It just seemed awesome. It seemed like the most fun you could possibly ever have. It looked like the production value was like top notch. Yeah. Then obviously going back and watching this one, I was like, oh, this is, it was almost like summer camp games.
Yeah. But it's like, but at the time they seemed like crazy, just awesome.
Yeah.
And same thing. I wanted to be on it like so bad. And of course I never was. Cause I mean, I'm in Texas. I'm not going to go over there, but it was one of those where like, I wanted to do the obstacle course. Anytime I would run at school, I was like hoping that I was training for, for Double Dare. That was like my goal, just to train to be on Double Dare. And it was such a bummer when I couldn't actually get on.
But there was a kid in my elementary school that was on Wild and Crazy Kids.
Really?
No.
Yeah. But like in that show, there's like 50 people on each team. So there's like 200 kids at one point, like on these shows. So like it's almost anyone could be on that show, but it was still cool. Yeah. When he came to school with like his like Wild and Crazy Kids, like purple shirt or whatever it was. It's like, oh man, he's really wearing it to school. I would definitely keep it locked up somewhere.
For real. Yeah. And one thing that I had forgotten was that they always, they had like those distinctive outfits. So it was like either blue or like red, you know, colored. But they had like, I guess they were like track pants or like wind chants or something. And then the, like just the white sneakers, like just all white. And I always wondered when I was a kid, like, do you get that? Or like, do you have to bring that on? Like, I wanted like to know all the mechanics about Double Dare. And I just, everything about it was just so cool because I, you know, what happens to the clothes? I mean, all of a sudden the kids were drenched, but then like their clothes are fine. I didn't get it. So, you know, now, of course, as an adult, it's like, well, I'm sure they didn't film it all like straight 30 minutes. You know, they had to do it in sections, probably get cleaned up, all sorts of things. But at the time, like, it just boggled my mind how everything happened.
Well, it's because of the sponsors, Jerry, Reebok.
Reebok was not
a participation sport. I had completely forgot about that slogan.
This is before they had British Knights as their sponsor, because they had British Knights on there. They had the Ratchtecks. Yeah. And I was expecting one of those to be the sponsors, and then it was Reebok. I was like, oh man.
Yeah. This was a pre Orlando Nickelodeon.
Yeah, and I think it was Philadelphia. Yeah, and the end credits it said Phil. Yeah, which is nuts. I can't imagine them filming anything. I don't know. I didn't realize they filmed anything in Philadelphia.
Yeah, this was from the first season. So this was in 86, which is, that's like right away when they started. So, of course, Nickelodeon in around the mid-80s, they were approached by various production and consulting groups to actually, you know, do a game show for kids, because they figured, hey, kids love watching TV. They did like several focus groups, kind of like He-Man when you know, Mattel was doing all the He-Man stuff. Or was it Hasbro? I don't remember. But, you know, whoever was doing all the He-Man stuff, and they did like all the focus groups, and they did the exact same thing with this. They discovered kids love games. They like them to be just exciting. They like mousetrap kind of, you know, things. I don't know if you remember that board game Mousetrap, you know, with a little bit of trivia. So let's combine it all and see what we can come up with. And so they came up with Double Dare. And so they shot the pilot in May of 86. And apparently they loved it. They picked it up. And then immediately they started looking for a host. And one thing I thought that was kind of weird was that they actually wanted like Soupy Sales to be their host. And like Soupy Sales at that time, he was born in like 26. So he would have been 60 years old.
Yeah.
As like the host of a game show, which I can see is like, okay, maybe for like Jeopardy. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But for, you know, a game show that's like crazy and ruckus for kids. And I know Soupy Sales was known for like getting pies in his face, but you know, that's when he was younger. He was in his like 20s and 30s for that. So I just don't see that happening. I mean, that was just a crazy idea there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they immediately started looking for younger hosts. Dana Carvey was going to host for a bit, and apparently he got an offer to be on SNL. So, I mean, no brainer there.
Yeah.
And finally, they found Mark Summers, who apparently they picked because he would actually, as he was doing his little rehearsal thing, he would actually like kick it off to the sponsors right before like the closing line. And so they're like, oh, that's really professional. That sounds really cool. You know, this guy knows what he's doing. And so he was in his 30s already by the time that he was tapped to do this. So I guess when they did the revival, he must've been like in his 60s or something, but I don't know I think he just made guest appearances on that. I don't think he was the actual host of that.
I don't think he was. I think it was a woman who was.
I think it was a woman. Yeah, I think you're right. But he did it for quite a while because he did the original one. Then he did like Family Double Dare. There was like Super Sloppy Double Dare that he did as well. I mean, he ran it from like 86 to like 92 or something like that. Just 6 years of Double Dare. That's a lot of game show, man. I don't know if I could do that.
I don't think Soupy Sales would have been able to do that long. Definitely
not. Watching this, I forgot how good he was at hosting. He's really was like outstanding as a host, you know, for this. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a shame he didn't do more stuff.
Yeah.
Like Price is Right.
You know, I think he might've been better at it than Drew Carey. Oh, my
gosh. Maybe.
And I love Drew Carey. I love when he does his improvaganza and all that stuff. But I mean, you know, he needs like funnier people around him, I think, to really make it work. But
yeah, he's been doing it for how long? And it still doesn't look right to me.
Same. Then again, Bob Barker was doing it for like 30 or 40 years. So,
yeah,
I mean, I guess we're just used to it.
We're just crotchety old men now.
Yeah.
So
you're saying we need to be on Double Dare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as I don't have to do a physical challenge, I'll be all right. I might be okay on trivia.
14 years.
What's that?
Drew Carey's been on Price is Right for 14 years.
Are you kidding me? No. That's crazy. Like, it doesn't feel like that.
No.
But we're here talking about Double Dare because they did a heart seg. No transition whatsoever. that's what people listen to my show for, those hard cutaways.
Yeah.
but the reason we're actually talking Double Dare tonight is they actually had a Christmas episode, and fittingly they had the Griswolds on before the Griswolds even had their own Christmas movie. So
yeah, that was interesting. Like the foresight they had was incredible.
Yeah. The very first thought I had when I heard that they did it was that, oh yeah, well, it's because National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, they picked this family named Griswold. No, they just coincidence maybe, or maybe because of European Vacation. Isn't that how it starts?
There was the first one with Wally World, and European Vacation was the one that came out a couple years after. Right. Thinking like maybe 85 or maybe early, I don't remember, but it was 85-ish, I think that was so European too. Vacation. So yeah, like, so like the last thing they would have known from the Griswolds was kind of a raunchy, like, I think it was maybe PG-13, but it certainly shouldn't have been a movie. Like, so yeah, I guess they just really liked the characters. They were probably really pumped when, and the next year when Christmas, or in 89 when Christmas Vacation came out.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the Razzles, like Razzles is the other team. And this one was like special. And I think Mark Summers even calls it out. He's like, you know, since on most adult game shows, like for holiday specials, kids come on. He's like, we decided to flip it this time since it's a game show for kids. Now the parents are going to come on. I would have loved to see my dad and my mom like trying this, because my dad would be like all in and my mom would not like at all. She'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. I love you, mijo. I'm not doing that.
How do you think your dad would have done?
I think he would have done all right on the on some of those fill up the cup ones. And I think he would have been really good on the spinning wheel, because he was in track, and so he was pretty good at the anything with running. I think he would have been okay at, but that's about it, probably. Yeah. What about you? Would your parents have been all right on it?
My mom would have been fine. My dad would not have made the trip. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I think my mom would have given it a shot. I'm not sure if my dad would have, but I mean, I'm sure she wouldn't have been good at it.
Gotcha. What about now as parents? Like, how do you think we would do as the parents?
I would crush.
I would crush on the trivia.
But sure, the trivia was
super
was nothing.
Easy. Yeah.
But like that, the physical challenges are like I would have destroyed at the end.
Yeah. Is it bad? The only thing I could think of when they were doing the egg one was like, dude, like raw egg, there's salmonella like all over your face, man.
Yeah. Well, I have one rule I live by, and that is if you see me running, you better run too.
Because there's a reason for it.
Yeah. And I have a bad experience in one of them hamster wheel things. And so I would not have gotten into that.
Okay. Now I'm intrigued. You got to tell it now.
Up in St. Louis, there's this in downtown St. Louis, there's this building. It's gotta be 30 or 40 stories tall. And it's an old building right downtown, and they converted it. They call it a children's museum, but it's basically just a big jungle gym with these you know, slides that start off on one floor and end up on another, and tunnels. And
I've seen this on YouTube. It's like, yeah,
it's like crazy stuff. And they had one of those hamster wheel things in there. And we had went when kids were little and took them, and I hopped in one, that hamster wheel thing, to be cool or cute or whatever you want to call it, you know, and I started going, and some strange kid, I don't know who it was, hopped in with me. So I tried to get weird. Out, because I'm like, I'm not going to be in the hamster wheel with some kid that's some not my rando. Own, you know? Well, he kept running. I'm trying to get out, which led me to trip and falling in the hamster wheel, and the kid will not stop running. So I'm sitting there flipping over like laundry in a dryer, you know, end over end. And I start hollering at this kid to stop so I could get out of the thing. And he's just completely oblivious to anything that's going on. It's like, can you not see this 300-pound guy flipping over and over and over and over again in this hamster wheel while this like 50-pound kid keeps running in the thing? And finally he gets out, and I'm like, I'm never entering that thing ever again.
All right. Note to self. If I ever go on Double Dare, don't take Todd with me as a partner.
The hamster wheel is a no-go.
As long as I don't do the hamster wheel, I'll be fine.
All right. We'll just time it so that I'll do the hamster wheel. But you know, the one thing I remember is, didn't they have like, wasn't in the final obstacle course, usually there was like a giant nose, and they would have to like dig through the nose, like,
and teeth too, like a mouth that they had to slide down.
There was that one. And I think, wasn't there like a sandwich as well, or like pancakes or something with like a big thing of butter on it, and you had to
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are my favorite. I want to do that one. Yeah.
They hadn't quite gotten there yet. This is early on in
this is still early. In the
series.
Yeah. I like how he keeps mentioning how there's ice. He's like, oh, but all the lights have melted it. It's like, is that a bit? I can't tell if that's a bit or if like he's serious.
They had that snow that would fall in that one little spot on the stage. You know, it would come down when they went to break, and it was only covered like a 6-inch area on the stage.
Yeah. You know, I have a feeling like, as far as production values goes, this is like, you know, they're still testing the waters. Because I do recall, like you said, being just a lot better. So they're like, we're going to throw some money at it, but we'll wait and see what lands. And then if it sticks, then we'll go ahead and throw a little bit more at it.
Because
you know, I remember it being more polished.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to tape this bucket to your head. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Yeah. There was quite a bit of that. Although I got to say, the prizes I really dug at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Great. For sure.
Yeah. That was that was pretty awesome. I might be listing those later on. So spoilers here. But
well, I did some calculations on one of those prizes.
Oh, really?
Yes. On the gift card to Toys R Us.
Because it was a, what, $75 gift card?
$75.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In today's money, that would be the equivalent of $186.
Ooh.
No, it'd be worth nothing because Toys R Us is kaput. So it's donezo. It's worth nothing.
Not in
you
Canada.
Waited too long.
Well, there's
I guess
Canada.
So.
I guess go to so. Canada. Then you do
fly to Canada. Spend the money to go to Canada. And then
well, the exchange rate, you know, to Canada, you know, $186. So you could buy like $10,000 worth of stuff. For you know, $200. And
oh, okay.
All they have at the Canadian Toys R Us is Dave Coulier action figures.
I'm all in. Let's do it.
Pull a string on the back.
Got any wood?
Mr. Woodchuck. Oh, man. Didn't Dave Coulier also have a show on Nickelodeon?
He did. I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember what it was called either, but it was like his own, like for a while
it was before Full House.
Yeah, or, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
Me neither, because I remember when he came on Full House and I was like, hey, it's that guy. You know, it's Dave. I mean, I didn't know him from anything else, but all I know is Alanis Morissette had that thing with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we know him from that.
Yeah, you know him from You Ought to Know.
From his movie theater etiquette.
Yep. There's a podcast, but they have a segment where it's like people just, you know, write in with like their Dave Coulier experiences, because apparently he's a jerk to everybody he meets. And so they just write in. So
what if you're a jerk back? I wonder if he would respect that. You know, yeah, like probably. Like he'd all of a sudden be like, I got you, man. Like you're my best friend, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Weekly Planet. Weekly Planet.
Oh, okay.
I just wonder like how many times people come up to him and say cut it out or something like that. Oh, and it's just like, complete stop. Yeah. And then he's like, you're a jerk. I'm going to blog about this.
Yeah. Just try to piss him off on purpose. Yeah. One thing I did notice in this episode was that there was like a lot of trivia questions. I remember there being more physical challenges. And I was wondering, like, did they just take it easy because it was a Christmas special? Or do people just know Christmas trivia more than...
I think what happened, you know, especially that first round, because there was like, he was trying to encourage the kids to take the physical challenge. He's like,
yeah, you
know, so I think what they, you know, being the first season, I think they ended up just upping the difficulty of the questions. Cause even I noticed in this, it was like softball question. And then like college calculus question all of a sudden. It's like,
yeah, we need to get a physical challenge. Like every fourth or fifth question. Yeah.
Right. It's like we need to get something else going on besides trivia, you know. So
like the scientific name of mistletoe. It's like
right.
Like, I mean, you could guess it, but I mean one of the choices was holly, and I thought, okay, well, I guess it could be holly. Mistletoe is a little more Christmassy. So that was so I'd like that's the one I guessed and I actually got it right. But it's just like how does that compare with like how many reindeers start with the letter D?
and all those questions are worth like $20 or something. So it's or $10. So you get to split it's a split at the end. So it's like all this trouble for $10.
Right. Well, they do double in the second round, but
yeah,
but still, I mean, yeah. And it's funny because nowadays, I mean, you think of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or some of those other shows where it's like big bucks, you know, for a question. And you know, $10 was,
I mean,
as a kid though, that's like huge, like, whoa, $10, you know, that's my allowance. I could answer, get it in one question, you know, or that was more than my allowance, but you know, for most kids, I guess that's an allowance. I don't know.
Yeah. That's $128 Canadian. So
you can literally buy Nova Scotia with that.
Right. Right.
Challenge accepted. But yeah, there was like a lot of those little softball questions, like the what article of clothing brought Frosty to life? Mm-hmm. And then if you add like the number of what is it like how many golden rings, the number of calling birds and, you know, French hens, turtle doves and partridge, mm-hmm. like what is that equal to? I'm not going to say these kids are bad at math, but I mean, they're pretty bad at math. It was, yeah. I was just like, come on, man.
It's obviously 15.
Yeah. Dumb kids. No, I'm just kidding.
I wonder if the kids go through a test before they get on and like, hey, give us the kids that are bad at math. Yeah.
You know? How many of your questions have to do with math? Three? Okay. So get the C students in. Yeah. They're better at sports anyway. But yeah, there was just a lot of random questions that I thought would, but apparently or eventually they do go on to do a physical challenge and some of them were okay. So the guy had like three instruments in front of him and he had to play all three instruments, but he had a cup strapped on his head. Yes. And so they had to fill the cup up with liquid. But he, you know, I think it was 15 seconds, but he also had to play all three instruments. And as he's like bending down, you know, to hit the drum or to grab the little toy trumpet and all that stuff, water's of course spilling out and he's just getting like drenched and stuff like that. I mean, there's just a bunch of these, like you said, they're definitely camp level.
are we just going to skip over Gary's hair?
I was hoping we could talk about it. I was so nervous in there putting this thing on and the goggles. I was waiting for him to like be like, no, I'll do it.
Yeah.
He had a helmet.
Holly's like, what? Holly's like, what if his wig falls off? I said, that's what we want to happen.
Yeah, we're hoping that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was the 80s. It was bad toupees everywhere.
It looked like the Duracell people commercial where it's like this plastic. It's like a dome or like a Lego person.
Like a G.I. Joe hair or something. Well,
he didn't want to climb the ladder for good reason, I guess. But
yeah. You know,
although I would have wished his team would have won so we could watch them go through the
obstacle. Oh man, that would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been really good.
I think it might have been rigged.
All right, Anthony. But I did like how Mark Summers had a Santa hat on the whole time. Although when they cut to the announcer, Harvey, that was his beard. Like threw me off completely.
So weird, he was like weird Santa suit.
Yeah, he was dressed like Santa, but it was odd. It was like a dollar store costume or something.
It wasn't even that. It was really bizarre.
It was like felt threw up all over it or something. I don't know. It was just weird. That beard.
Yeah,
and he just starts like he pretty much just starts ragging on Mark. Like, hey, you look stupid too in that hat. Don't tell me anything. You know, I think what made it weirder was that he had like the big fake eyebrows too. So it wasn't
it's a
just
weird
like,
touch.
Yeah. Like why? I mean, it'd be fine. Just why? It makes no sense. You know, I think overall I did get a lot of nostalgia from this one. Just seeing them do the games, seeing them run through everything, but it would have been cool if there was a few more physical challenges. I think that's like the best part, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen the Razzles do more.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
I need a more physical challenge from the Razzles for sure.
Every now and again, if I'm watching like a buzzer, like the old school, like it's basically they play game shows from like the 70s and the 80s and stuff. And then 60s as well. It's on like free TV, but every once in a while, like if a contestant's on there and it's young enough, like maybe like they're in their 20s or something, I'm like, I wonder what they're doing now. So I'll go look them up on like Facebook. Cause they give like first and last names. Like, oh, let me go see you. And they're from Austin, Texas. So this is even easier.
Yeah.
So you look them up. And you're like, what did you do with your prize money? What are you doing? I'd like to look that up.
I think we should. We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put his Facebook in the show notes. Everyone we'll friend him.
Yeah. We'll him. Just all of a sudden, why are all these Christmas fanatics?
We'll just get we'll just all send them Christmas cards this year.
There you go. Yeah. I like that. All of a sudden you get some stickers from all these Christmas podcasts.
Yeah. Oh. To be fair, though, the dad on the Griswolds was pretty gung-ho about the whole thing.
Yeah, he was. So, he looked like he was down for it.
He was ready. Yeah.
I like how when they were going to do the egg challenge, you know, so it was like, 15 seconds. He had to catch 10 eggs and smash them on his head.
Yeah.
And I like how the mom grabbed like a whole handful and was going to like toss a whole handful at him. Like, how do you catch all that? And then Mark Summers had to ruin it by like saying, you know, you probably want to do it one at a time. I'm like, no, man, let her go. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. I like how they didn't give the dad a choice. He was like, you stand here. You know, and he took the mom over to pitch the eggs.
Because they couldn't have him throwing eggs at her.
Right.
No.
That would have been hilarious.
Overhand. No, I would have like sidearmed it, you know, just with a flick of the wrist. See what happens. Yeah, that would have been fun, but yeah, I could tell I'm like old now because the whole time all I was thinking was like, yeah, that's like salmonella, man. Just I hope you washed your hair and you scrubbed your face really well after that. I don't know. I know there was a question about Band-Aid, so that was kind of cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that was from the year prior. Mm-hmm. I did like how they actually had a nice Christmas tree in the background with all the baubles and tinsel garland. It was like gold tinsel garland and warm white lights on it. I mean, it was nice. I really dug the tree. It was like an old school. Like, I got a lot of nostalgia from that tree.
Yeah, it was good. The whole set, even with the snow, I was making fun of the snow earlier, it was like, you could tell. You know,
they tried.
It was a legit Christmas special. It wasn't like they just did something to you know, for the holidays. You know, they put some thought into it, and I'm sure the budget was not what it became a year or so later. So.
But. Yeah, because towards the end of that run, when they were doing the family double dare, I mean, that's when they, like, everything looked really well done.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it was just one of those first season, we're still trying to work it out. But I did like how they had the top hats, you know, like the Frosty type hat. Yeah. And then they had to do they had to like toss the ball, the snowball into it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. I know I couldn't at all, but that Griswold dad, man, and the mom, they nailed that.
Yeah. That dad was in it to win it for sure.
He was ready.
He sized up the competition and he knew he had it. Like that big firefighter mustache and stuff.
Yeah, he did. He had that great 80s firefighter mustache.
Yeah, he had that good workout 80s, trim to him.
He wasn't quite thick. A mullet yet, but
yeah.
It was thick, on its way to a mullet. Cut, Yeah, you could tell he watched Magnum PI and he liked it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was, especially when he had to do, he's like that during the obstacle course when he had to dive into the eggnog. He like went in head first and had the flag before the mom could even get out of the pool.
Yeah, she was still getting out of the pool.
And he's like,
where are you? It was, they could have won that trip to Disney if that mom was just a little more on the ball.
If she could have got out of that pool fast enough.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. That's what clinched it right there. Cause they were literally like 2 seconds too late.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Spoilers, by the way.
Got to find her on Facebook too.
Man.
Yeah. One of her hobbies, tennis.
Yeah.
I'm already starting to narrow it down.
Oh, boy. I think you're right. Oh, man. They of course, the Griswolds end up taking it. Although they get down, like they take an early lead and then they're down by like 100 points or so.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden they start coming back and they win like out of nowhere. It's like good job, Griswolds. The question that I thought was dumb was what is wintergreen?
Yeah, she says that was a fun one
because she says it was a color, and there actually is a color named wintergreen that I remember having in one of those like big 64 packs. But I think, I don't know if it was after this or if like they're like, well, it doesn't count because it's based off the plant. So
right,
it's like I would have argued that. I think if I was her, I would have been like, no, it's a color. I have that color. I don't know if that, I don't know what they would have done with that.
Yeah. Actually, Mark.
excuse me, Mark. Let me tell you.
Yeah. In my crayon box with the sharpener in the bottom of it, I have a wintergreen one.
Those were awesome. But I think I only had it 1 year. And it was already like in fifth or sixth grade, something like that.
No, well, if you keep it in your backpack or your book bag or like your desk or whatever, it's eventually going to start getting scuffed up or kind of dented a little bit. And then once like the black and the red ones get worn out, then they all start folding in on each other. And then it's just a big mess.
Yep. Yeah. And it's not like that sharpener really did anything.
Except just like have like a, just like this trough underneath the box that would at some point open up in your backpack and you're like, what is all this stuff? Like, oh, man.
It'd rip that paper on your crayons and eventually just take the whole pepper off because it's not staying on anymore.
Yep.
You're like, is this brick or is this red? I can't tell, which one it is.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Now I'm just getting mad at the mess of my imaginary backpack. Like, oh man, come on.
Man. Got my Trapper Keeper all messed up.
Dude, Trapper Keeper is back. They have them at Walmart.
It's awesome. That.
Yeah. I totally want one, although I have like absolutely no use for it.
Yeah, no one has papers. What am I gonna put in there?
Exactly. I'll put some sheet music in there.
Get your podcast stuff put in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have any podcast stuff.
Melee questions. You put your
melee. Oh, there you go.
Just print them all out.
Yeah.
There you go. I like how the parting gift for the Razzles was Bunker's candy.
Oh, I had forgotten about that stuff. I used to use that stuff all the time.
I did too. And I had completely forgotten about it because it's like Bubblicious, you know, they just kind of went like the way of the dodo, you know? Although I think they might still have a few Bubblicious here and there, but you just don't find it anymore, really. Maybe because the flavor lasted like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
The cotton candy was the worst, absolutely the worst. It would last maybe 5 seconds and then it turns into like the worst flavor ever.
I can still taste it, man. Yeah. It's like that one and the pink stick gum that would come in cards. Mm-hmm. It was really chalky. Yeah. And yeah, like yeah. I still have those flavors in my mouth. If I think about it, it's just awful.
The quickest gum to lose flavor, in my opinion, was that zebra stripe gum.
I agree.
Oh,
I
think yeah, so. You're right. Yeah.
It was like two or three chews and that's about all you had.
Yeah. I wonder what like the guys that are creating it are thinking. They're like, hey, let's pack all the flavor in the beginning. Cause you know, that's where you want the flavor. Yeah. So it was like, it was, that candy. And then it was also, that slime, the green slime shampoo.
Right.
There's a gets you clean, won't turn you green.
They were really they must have had like some sort of a trademark on green slime. I'm sure they slime, did, but like yeah. But they used it constantly. Like Nickelodeon constantly used green slime.
Yeah, like you can't do that in television. Like they're their big thing. Apparently, the first time they used slime, it was kind of a last minute thing, and so they literally grabbed like gunk from like a kitchen. You know, so there was like moldy, all sorts of stuff. So the very first time was actual like gross slime. And then they came up with that synthetic stuff that they used throughout the rest of the show. So that poor kid, the first time he probably died. I don't know. So the Griswolds win. Sorry. And I like their prizes. So they have, let's see if I can name all these. It was a $75 gift certificate to Toys R Us. That was like for the first obstacle. Then it was a Sony Walkman, like a whole set of like records.
Yeah.
And I like how it's got like Phil Collins' face. Like
it was a Genesis album and yeah. a Phil Collins album.
Yeah. Like, ooh, man, okay. Like, you're living dangerously
there.
Tell
them apart. Yeah.
Then there was like a selection. Oh, an answering machine was the next one. Then there was like VHS cassettes.
The worst VHS cassettes. Like ones that children would not want at all.
Yeah, exactly. I think one was like a Care Bears one, and I didn't.
That's the one they highlighted, so that means the others were worse.
The other ones are worse.
It's like when you would buy those packs of comics, and the one in the front looked like it'd be all right, and the one yeah. all the other ones were just like, yeah. Oh man.
Yep. What is this? Yep, been there.
Like an old Darkwing Duck comic, like, ah, oh, darn it.
So yeah, VHS, there was an RCA color TV, a VCR, and then the big one was the trip to Disney World. So yeah. that was kind of cool. You know, I mean, yeah. you got to have a few winners in there, I suppose. But they go through the obstacles. The mom is like taking her time. The dad was like rocking it, man. He climbed up that net like nothing. He mixed that that eggnog because he had to dive into a pool of eggnog and they dumped like a, you know, the nutmeg or whatever. And I like how Mark Summers does like a Julia Childs impersonation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool. The dad was like, yeah, whatever. And he just jumps in and goes under the bar and grabs the flag like nothing. The mom had to like go back and get like two flags a couple of times. You know, she was like moving on and then, oh yeah, I got to get the flag. It's like, God, like study the game before you go on it, guys.
Yeah. Come on. Come on, mom.
Be a good mom.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh my God, mom.
if I'm gonna go on the Amazing Race, I'm gonna practice my swimming and my nation's flags before I do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, she kind of dropped the ball a little bit. Although the dad also did as well in the hamster wheel, he kind of fell a time or two. He could have been better.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, you felt his pain there.
Yes.
But they literally missed it by like 2 or 3 seconds going to Disney. So they got all the other stuff, I guess. That's cool.
Yep. That VCR cost about $300 in 1986.
That's sure true. It did.
Yeah.
Did you look that up too?
Yes, I looked it up.
Nice.
When VCRs awesome. First came out in 75, they were $1,400.
Oh my gosh. For a while there, Betamax was like big, and Betamax right. tapes were like $80 to $100 and something a tape. Can you imagine like spending $100 just to get like the Terminator?
No.
I can't either. Especially now that you can find it at Walmart in like one of those DVD bins for like $3 or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so stream today's it for money, even cheaper.
Today's money, $750 to buy a VCR.
God. Yeah.
So basically like buying a PlayStation 5 or whatever it is.
Or buying a car in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, buying a Canadian car.
Are we putting Canada on blast?
I guess we are. I don't know. It wasn't my intention.
Canada, we're coming for you. You're going to be part of the US. Apologize.
Canada, all I know, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm sorry.
Yep.
One of the fun things I know about Canada is in Canada, they don't call Kraft mac and cheese Kraft mac and cheese. They call it Kraft dinner.
Really?
Yeah, so whatever that means. Don't have any idea why they do that.
Why would you just call it? I mean, dinner's so like
it's ambiguous. Definitive. That's the main dish, and it's okay. Just this mac and cheese.
If I just had Kraft mac and cheese for the only thing for my dinner, I would rage. That is not dinner.
That's like part.
That is a side dish. That's a, yeah, what goes with it? You gotta have something else with it.
Gotta have at least a steak or something.
Something.
Yeah, I hear you.
Some chicken tenders or something.
Yeah, even a hot dog.
Even a hot dog. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah,
mac and cheese. So I can't believe Bruce Jenner was actually one of the possible hosts of Double Dare. Again, I can't imagine Bruce Jenner being a host. Apparently, I guess they did a taping and they never called him back. So,
yeah.
So sucks to be him, I guess. But
I guess so.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, I think it really does, actually.
Yeah.
Can't beat him, join him.
There you go. Family Double Dare, yeah, lasted until 93. Then they did Double Dare 2000, which I completely missed. I don't remember that one at all. And then
is that the one where Dan Aykroyd went out with a kid and John Belushi?
Well, it should have been.
That was Blues Brothers 2000. My bad. Let me erase that.
I think I erased that from my memory because the first one was like so amazing. And then,
It's like, please don't do that.
Yeah,
quite a run of those fill in the blank 2000s.
Yeah,
so. There was, because wasn't there also a Knight Rider 2000? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's just sit in the silence for a little bit for all those 2000s series.
Not one of them was a success.
No, none of them were. Then there was a 2012 version, another 2018 version, and then apparently there was like countless adult, you know, copycat versions that just were terrible. And I think a lot of it was because Double Dare like knew what it was, you know?
Yeah.
And the other ones were just trying to imitate and just couldn't quite live up to it. So I don't know, but.
Well, the way I look at it is the show Wipeout took the best things from Double Dare and gave it to us in a game show without any of the trivia.
That's true.
Just the fun stuff.
Yeah. Just the fun stuff. So I consider Wipeout a offspring of the Double Dare franchise.
There you go. Yeah, I could do that. And then on August 31st, 2019, Mark Summers announced that the Double Dare would not be renewed for a third season. And so apparently that series concluded with the finals holiday tournament as well, which aired in December of 2019. So they just missed all the COVID stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that seemed to work out.
Yep, exactly. Oh man. Guys, you know, it does make me wonder, what would you say would be your happiest moment or memory of Double Dare?
Oh, I just remember being at my grandparents' house and watching it. I was pretty close with my grandparents. It was my mom's mom and dad, and just being there with the old green shag carpet laying on the stomach, watching the console TV. in the double there, just as a just a fond memory. They came on right before AWA Pro Wrestling too, so
there you go.
So it was like 2 hours, you know, it was like, you know, or hour and a half of just TV bliss.
Nice. What about you, Chris?
It evokes so many emotions and so many like nostalgia for me. I feel like I grew up with like Mark Summers as my like stepdad almost, because he was always like he was always like sort of a part of my life somehow. Like I would constantly watch him on all these shows, and even like Unwrapped, I'd see him. He taught me how to make like popsicles and like other crap. So it's just amazing that, like, how many things this guy's done that have affected my life. So I feel like that kind of stuff. And he was just seemed like a generally nice guy. I mean, you never want to meet your heroes, so I don't really know what he's like in real life, but he seemed like a pretty down to earth, fun guy. So I those are my happiest moments. So just like having like that kind of male role model, maybe. That's the craziest thing to say. That was my only male role model, was Mark Summers.
I gotcha. Yeah, for me it's very similar. I just remember like the excitement of watching him like, you know, run the obstacle courses. That was like the best part for me, and just wanting to like be on it. But of course, like, my parents weren't going to take me to Florida. I mean, we couldn't afford it. They were teachers, you know? So it was just one of those, just every time it was time to run the obstacle course and thinking I could do that, you know, or I bet I could do that. And come on, grab the flag. I mean, just yelling at the TV and trying to, you know, put myself in their shoes, at least in my mind, in my imagination. Cause I mean, there's no way I could ever be there. But, you know, now we do come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with the Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the episode. And as the guests, I'll let you go first. Just kind of set it up and we'll go from there. Todd, you want to go first?
Sure. But this was tough. I don't want to say there's any part that was like stood out to me that was my least favorite part. But I say probably the worst part was when the Razzles dads had to do their first physical challenge, pouring the water on the head. And you couldn't really hear it, but I could hear Gary, you know, he was like, he was trying to process what was going on. And the other guy just chose the ladder before he did. And you just kind of seen him do this two step and go, you know, it's real faint, but he's like, and the nervousness about him having to put something on his head, you know, just made me feel sorry for poor Gary.
Poor Gary. Yep. I got
Gary,
you.
Gary, I know you're listening. And yeah. I know you know we're talking about. We love you.
Yeah, just be yourself, man.
Yeah.
You gave us some of the best hair on TV.
Just let
ever.
Your flag fly, man.
Yes.
All right. What about you, Chris?
Well, my part, or the part I decided to mention wasn't the worst part, but it was the cringiest part. Uh-huh. And I want to go back to the Wintergreen question, because it was the only part where there was any like kind of just like a little bit, it was got a little heated between RE and Corey.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. And so for those that haven't watched it and are just relying on us to explain it, the question was, what is Wintergreen? It was either a synthetic flavor, a deep shade of green, or a shrub with aromatic leaves. So Corey, and I have the quote as well. Corey was insistent that she knew what this was, and I was like, all right, like she's like taking charge. And so they have a little like huddle up, and you don't hear what he says, but you hear her, and she says, "Yes, it is. It is. I know." And then she turns around and says, "Deep shade of green." Not the right answer. I cringed so hard, like I shrunk into my shoulders, like, oh gosh. And she just kind of laughed and played it off. But that was probably my least favorite part of the episode.
I got to. So I almost picked that joke that Mark Summers said about, you know, what do you call Santa Claus's helpers? You know, and Harv is like elves, and he's like, no, subordinate clauses, but like no one laughs at all. And he's like, that joke just went straight down the toilet. But instead, I picked a part we talked about earlier where we first cut to Harv And, you know, Mark starts laughing at him because he's wearing that ridiculous Santa outfit with like the big fake felt eyebrows and beard. And Harv says, I don't want to hear anything out of you, Mark. You look pretty stupid in that hat too, you know. Like, he's actually mad that he has to dress up in this ridiculous Santa Claus outfit. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a game show. It's all fun. I mean, it's not like there's really a bad part, I guess, but I just like doing impressions of people. But yeah, it was that was great. But it does make me wonder, you know, G.I. Joe taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
The other half would be, if your kid says, come on, Dad, it'd be fun. Extra glue for the toupee.
All right. It's smart advice.
I would say if they're going to give you complimentary Reebok shoes for the day, make sure they have good traction or you will stumble and fall over yourself in the hamster wheel.
Yep. That's good. Amen. Those are both better than mine. I mean, if no one's half the battle, the other half is physical challenge.
Yep.
Very nice.
Or I guess daring the other team. I don't know. Whatever you want to go with there. But guys, it's been a lot of fun talking Double Dare and going down memory lane with you on this one here. But, you know, what do you want to plug? Tell me about your guys' shows.
Well, I'm the host of Christmas Clatter. We celebrate everything that makes Christmas special, from music to movies, to decorations, all kinds of stuff. We are anywhere you find your favorite podcast, and we are also on YouTube. So check us out at all those places.
Right on.
Yeah, and I am a judge on Christmas Clatter, Merry Melee. That's all I plan on promoting today. I'm taking it very seriously, but I guess I could mention that I have a podcast with my wife called Christmas Time in the City, where we talk about Christmas in New York City. And we also have a YouTube channel that in the next few weeks to a month or so, we're going to start having a lot of videos coming out. We're going to be walking around and showing you guys Christmas and the holidays in New York City. So stick around for that. And yeah, and podcast wise, we're everywhere where podcasts are. That's how it works.
Right on. And I also am a judge on Christmas Clatter, so I'll promote that as well for their Merry Melee. No, it's not rigged, I promise. And I do not have a YouTube, unlike these fine gentlemen here. So don't go to YouTube and look for me. But on that note, I'm going to say thanks again, guys. And I'll end it with ho, ho, ho to all of you. And thank you, Harvey. And check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you're feeling like the Griswolds, winning a $75 gift certificate to Toys R Us, a Sony Walkman, a new set of albums, an answering machine, a selection of video cassettes, an RCA color TV, and a VCR, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. Now, don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Chris. We're a married couple living in New York City. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably love Christmas just as much as we do.
In our podcast, Christmas Time in the City, we talk about the history and traditions of the holidays in New York City. The Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, caroling in Washington Square Park, New Year's Eve in Times Square, the classic Christmas movies filmed here, we cover it all.
In listener mail, we answer questions from listeners like you that may be planning a trip or maybe just curious about us.
And in Christmas Confidential, we read anonymous listener-submitted Christmas confessions to help people finally get their deepest Yuletide secrets off their chest.
So subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll talk to you soon.
Unless you don't want to, then just forget about it.
Really?
What, too much?
No, it's fine.